now we're gonna open up the questions. Zach, we can go ahead and turn back on the light. If we did that, that would be great. You guys wanna come on up?
Or you
can
sit.
So who has questions? Yes.
The walls. You call this new stuff, it's old stuff you can't.
Some of it is, yes.
Right. Where are the new contents then? If the game is slowly dying, you only got 400 players on each server. There's four servers left, right? Valorant is dying. People are flocking over Warpaint. Why don't you add a new race, new map? You guys added new RBR accessories. LOTD is complete then. No need for top. But I'm saying, like, the game's dying. They need new content. You guys gotta bring back the old stuff.
We are putting in old content that has new purposes to bring people there and give them something to do. We do have some new content that we're putting in, and we did show them up there. And to be honest with you, we don't have the resources for stuff to do a whole new race or a whole new class or things like that. That basically means an entire 40 levels worth of stuff.
So where do you see the life of the game being at this point then?
To continue to play with the diehard people that enjoy the game, cater towards PvP and open RBR, people that enjoy that, put more content in there, whether that's like you were saying, some of it is old content, but in a new way, so that it's new stuff to do. Some of it will be new content to also give you extra stuff to do. And we're going to continue to cater to people that enjoy this game. If we can get more people to play it, we have tons of people trying the trial all the time. If anybody hasn't played it in there, it's a free endless trial where you can play the first quarter of our game basically for free as long as you want. We continue to do PvP in Tier 1 as long as you want. Feel free to just go to our website and try it out, and we get tons of people from that, and we get people to train through it. Games like this will continue to support as long as we have people playing it. We have Ultima Online, which is like 14 years now, still just cranking through people. We're still putting out content for that. So we've got Dark Age of Camelot, who's actually going to have their 10th anniversary this year, and they're continuing to crank through people and continue to put out more content for them. And we're continuing to do the same for this, which is why we hold these things. We want to come out and show we still got support behind the game because there are people that play. And we're not going to be able to do the things like people say, put in the cities and we're going to start. We're not going to help you group down it. We can't put in full brand new places and careers like that. But we're going to continue to put in stuff that hopefully you guys will find fun. Hopefully keep people playing and keep new people coming in.
So I'm a retired player.
Sure.
I played in the beginning, and for me, the most compelling battles out in the field were the open, not in a fortress, but it was running around with my group, fighting other bands in the middle of the field. And I got to the 40, and the fights became, I'm standing in a keep for an hour. I mean, you guys have made some changes that I probably haven't seen. But do you have any other plans to get the battle? I mean, I like your relic thing, because that's you're pushing people back out onto the field, which was right. The best part.
Yes.
Do you have any other thoughts on?
One of the reasons we did some of the open RBR changes, which I hinted at earlier in the 140, was because there's a Zerg mentality. Whether we fix that, it's kind of debatable because some people still just like to play that way. But the idea behind that was we wanted to, instead of being this weird bit of big Zerg little thing, and it just didn't come out to a good fight, we made the DOs kind of strategic. You had to take them out, you build up your keeps now, and then you actually use that those resources to attack another keep and take it over, so that the battles are hopefully a little more focused. And the reason that we're continuing to add more content that's RBR focused, whether it's scenarios or places that we can put in, like the fortresses, is to do just that. We want to keep people engaged in those battles, because those are very important. We actually did some work, and I know we have some assets that we are trying. That's part of what we're pointing towards with new assets that we want to try to get in. We do have some stuff for Sylvania that we just need. there, and we wanted to do two things. We don't want to just go on some new content that only a few people will see or you only see once. We want to do things that are going to be repeatable and enjoyable so that you come back and do it more than once. Because if we just did another Land of the Dead where, you know, you kind of progress and you get your stuff through it, and there is a potential for that zone that we can still look at, and that's actually one of the places that a lot of people have pointed out, and we've actually been looking at it internally, where we can take Land of the Dead, take some of that content, and make it fresh, and make it part of the PvP, our open RVR experience. Like, we were talking about just the library in Land of the Dead would make a great scenario on its own. Some of the actual Tomb of the Vulture lore would make some great scenario play. I know people have even hinted at, you know, it's like, well, what if we open up the whole area at any time, that type of thing. So there's things we're looking at to try to make content more accessible and open up in that fashion. Yes?
On the matter of open world PvP, I played Dark Age of Camelot for 8 years, and the objective there was always to, you know, it wasn't so much to kill people as it was to capture little fortresses, and I felt like the one way that they did that really well at endgame was by not having those jump in 20 minutes before work battlegrounds. Like, I always felt that while those are great, when you can spend 10 minutes to get 1,000 realm points versus, you know, an hour out in the field, maybe getting 1,000 realm points, then that one is becomes obviously
sure.
The superior one, and it drives the people into it. And, in a game like Warhammer, which is totally focused around that, I've always viewed it at heart as the successor to Dark Age. I've always felt like having those scenarios at the end game, that quick, easy, 10 minutes for a big return versus an hour out in the field for potentially nothing. 8 versus 8 Dark Age of Camelot, 6 versus 6 in War. By adding this new 6 versus 6 scenario, do you foresee the hardcore 6v6ers abandoning roaming in an effort to get quicker returns? And potentially, yes, it would beef up competition, but at the same time, the last time I subscribed, I went out into the field, with a bunch of my friends, and we did have some excellent, 200 on 200s, but as far as that one group roaming, there was none. And I feel like maybe with the addition of this, that occasional encounter turned to nothing when everyone just sees the immediate advantage of this.
Yeah, there was definitely less of a emphasis, I'd say, on the battleground in Camelot, and I know they didn't come in completely. We added some additional to Camelot as we went along, because I actually worked on Camelot for quite a while as well. And there wasn't as much of an emphasis on the battlegrounds. They were there, they were kind of fun, but I think the core element became just the roaming around in there. And we'd like that to be the case in Warhammer, and we tried to gauge it, but there are enough people that like the idea of, I just want to get in, play for that 15 minutes and have fun. Now, what comes up as part of what you were saying is the reward versus time type thing, and that's something that we are trying to tweak and trying to make sure is correct. If somebody really likes open RVR, but they feel that the reward of doing something else is better, unfortunately, we find that they'll do that other thing that's less enjoyable, which, seems kind of counterintuitive, except that the reward becomes the big thing in their head. So trying to find a good balance of that is tough, and we're trying to work on that. If people have suggestions on that, it's a great idea for a discussion I can do on forums. But things like that really, really play. I mean, we see that in a lot of things. The idea that there's a reward out here will make people play a lot differently than you'd sometimes expect, and even from what they enjoy. Because the reward apparently is more enjoyable, or at least longer. Yeah, follow-up?
Yeah, follow-up. In Dark Age, now I've played a lot of MMOs since Dark Age, trying to find that thing to fill the gap in my heart. And, recently I played Rift, and people kept saying, it's just like, an evolution of Dark Age, and the way that it plays. And I won't comment on that. What I will say is that so many people were upset with Tryon Worlds because they felt their game could have been so much better if they employed like just one keep for their battlegrounds. Like Dark Age of Camelot saw one keep And, you know, I always used to love the Battlegrounds when that was put in. That was like my go-to PvP level. No one's there, you kill some mobs, you get more XP. And, has that ever occurred in Warhammer to possibly redesign the scenarios to be more like, you know, you can still get that 10 to 15 minutes and it'll just be just like the end game, only faster paced, more central, easier to get into, faster, you know, because there's some of that way you change, you're there to keep it there.
I can't really comment on Chris, because to be honest, I didn't really play it, but I know Steve enjoyed some of it. So, and we actually had some people that that worked at Mythic that actually worked at Tryon Worlds and was helping out Chris as well. So,
not really bothered.
Yeah, but anyways, so the point is, as far as things that we wanted to do, kind of like what you're talking about, we actually had some discussions on the forum, and we did throw around ideas, and that goes into the same idea of ultimate scenarios, is taking concepts from the game, whether that is just a keep take, or to be honest, making an instance encounter that's kind of like a horde mode, where it was just one realm against a bunch of PvE, so that you had a time thing, very much like an instance version of the PQ kind of that way. And doing different things with the content that will give those people that just want that 15 minutes of fun versus the wandering around, but kind of keep the essence of what the open RBR still is. We do have plans for that. I don't have anything specific I can share with you, but along the ideas which you're suggesting, the things that we're looking at. Yes?
I got a couple.
Okay.
Further to follow up on the day one Dark Age player, played for a while.
Awesome.
So, I think one of the problems with instances in War, WoW, and all the games since Dark Age of Camelot, Dark Age of Camelot instances for the Battlegrounds were a single static instance. It wasn't a timed event that was team-based. It was you go in there and it was miniature, RBR and miniature.
Yes.
And that's what was great about it. While the timed instance, you have a specific goal, it's not the same.
Repetition,
which is you're in there whacking them all to get your points up, time's up, go back in, whack them all. It wasn't the take to keep the middle and have the bands, and as a personal preference.
Right.
Longer, bigger question, is Mythic looking at any games in the future? So are they developing something else in the future, or is it just Warhammer? That's it. When I've been to the Mythic headquarters, I did personal player meets, met all the old people back in the day, and it was such a great thing then, but now it's kind of...
I'm trying to think how I can answer this without saying
something I'm supposed to.
Lives that I'm not supposed to.
It's true. Mongolian Horde 2 or something. Yeah.
We are going to continue to support our legacy products.
Correct. Right.
But that is not all we're about. We're all constantly looking towards things in the future. We have done some things in the past, like before we went on Warhammer, we did a parrot for a while. But we're continuing to look at ways that we can embrace what's going on in the markets, what is fun and enjoyable. So yes, you will see some other stuff eventually. I can't wait to give you the details.
One more minor question.
Sure.
Sorry. Dark Age of Camelot Origin server. Mm-hmm. They talk about while pre-New Frontiers, which we're on the game. Any chance of that ever coming about?
I would say it's
probably not.
Deal. I was around there during that, and that was a very very interesting time. For those not familiar with it, we did a lot of changes in our core game in Camelot over the years, where just like any game, where it kind of evolves, and like any game, where people still had some fondness for how the game played at the beginning versus how it eventually became. And one of the things at one point that we wanted to do was actually bring back the server that was very much like. Unfortunately, because of a lot of things that were going on, resource conflicts, there were things going on with other games, there's a lot of stuff, and I don't even remember all of it. You guys,
it was, you know, we were trying to launch War, it was trying to, balance out two projects at the same time, because, an Origin server, which I remembered as Red Dragon, because that was the original proposal. I remember doing a lot of work on that.
We weighed a lot of things. It was a lot of internal things. It was a lot of things, whether we thought we would get enough people on it to make it viable, what the resources would be, and ultimately, side against it, and I really at this point do not see that making a return. Next. Questions? Yes?
What was behind the decision not to have a presence on the show floor in an effort to bring back those hockey players?
If you did notice in the little booklet, they had a booth set up for us. That was a mistake. Usually when we've come to these last few years, we've actually done it in this format, because when we've done shows where we've been on the floor, it was a very odd thing, because people would be going around doing their things, and they'd come in trickles, and you get just a little bit of what people would hear. And they would never, you'd never kind of get that overlap. In these situations, we can get people that are interested, and we can get them in one place, and we get people that ask specific questions that then bring out other questions that then bring out, oh, hey, I kind of like to hear about that, or didn't even think about asking about that. And we get a lot more interaction by doing it through a presentation and a Q&A and giving out stuff in this format versus the random stuff.
I think you're missing somebody though, like those people that have no idea that the game's even there. Like even like some of
potentially
some of the little kids that are here. Like, wow, what if there's more amateurs? I didn't know that.
Potentially,
just
yeah.
Just walking past that booth. You're gonna booth night where they're playable, just like at one guy at a table, yeah, with t-shirts or stickers or something.
Potentially, it's a good idea, but we just found that as far as
or counts.
Getting to the people that play or have played and giving them that information, we found this worked a lot better. So yes, I agree with you. I think it also depends on the event, because and the clientele. And I agree that yes, there are some people that probably have not heard nothing about it, even at this event. But when we've gone to some bigger conventions, we sometimes have booths. It depended on where we were going and what we felt, you know, we could get out of people. And we've always found, at least at games day, that we've got a lot of good feedback from these concentrated efforts. In fact, they actually wanted us to do two sessions, but then when you start spreading people out and giving people choices when to go, you never got quite as good of an interaction or anything. So let's start here and then we'll move back.
So kind of what he was just going off of, if you're trying to get new players, tier 2 and tier 3 are dead. And a lot of the new players that play the Endless Trial get this sense of a lot of action, because there is a lot of action in a lot of VR, and then nothing until you get to tier 4. And if it's like a new player, that could be 2 weeks or even longer of gameplay when they just lose interest completely. Any thought of extending the Endless Trial to just tier 2?
We've gone back and forth on several ways to approach that. There's two different schools of thought. One of the things that the Endless Trial, we did for it, was we concentrated everybody in our first tier into one racial pairing, and we kept everybody within a confined area. So there was always a good population, and people didn't feel disconnected to the world. We didn't necessarily keep them from the rest of the world in tier one. We just concentrated people there because people have funding them. We've looked at potentially doing similar things where we concentrate what the action is in tier two and three. We've also looked at how we could potentially do the tier two and three as part of the Endless Trial, or have ways that you could do go in there. Both have its advantages and disadvantages, and both have problems that were presented. Much like when we did the Endless Trial, we found that people that were playing the Endless Trial, especially people that just kept on playing it, became very, very powerful. And so we had to make some changes to kind of tweak that, and we need to do the same kind of thinking. If we were to open up tier 2 and 3, we don't want to do it where people get to be the best in two, the people just playing through on their own and leveling up are just decimated by them as well. So there's a lot of things that kind of play into that, but we've looked at both. We haven't made a decision on what we can do that would be best in that regard. But if you guys have thoughts on that, which would you think would be better in that? Concentrating people once they go or playing the game into more populated areas.
I wouldn't know if there's enough of a population. If you made the Endless Trial go through tier 2, would that just half the amount of people in ORVR in tier 1, and then it's not enough?
Right, yeah.
But then if you just like cap it at like a low tier 3 level, you would assume that the twinking wouldn't be possible. I'm not sure about that, but
right.
I don't know if the population numbers would actually allow a spread out of people, but I would assume also subscribers would have more fun doing their alts again. So, I mean, people really just either play in tier one or tier four.
And we also toyed with, although I did the tech thing, keeping people that actually play the game and allowing them to stay within tiers similarly so that they could actually play. Because a lot of people actually say that some of their best fights were in certain zones and, you know, they kind of went through too fast, but if there's a population, they would love to stay in tier two or three and play at certain keeps or certain zones if they just want. So we have no back there.
A couple questions. One to go along with what you just saying. Is there any possible plans to look at opening up the rest of the zones in T1 for the endless trial? If you're not looking at going to other tiers, you open up other zones, or even rotating the zones?
Sure. We looked at rotating them as one of the thoughts when we first did it. It presented two problems in that we didn't want to have a bunch of people go into tier one, then we open up the next one, and then it kind of shifts people over, and then these people become a lot less, and then more over here. It'd also be very confusing to people. It felt much more natural if everybody had the same starting spot and was very familiar. And we let people that actually are paying go into any of them if they want to go do any of their content. One potential problem we have with opening it up to everybody is that then we do spread out that population, for especially of the trial users. Playing with people and kind of get them used to what the game is about. And if we send them off into who knows where in the newer green screens area and they kind of get lost over there, there's more chance that they might not come back and actually have some fun. So, and yes, you had to follow up?
Well, another question actually is on point.
Sure.
Do you guys have any plans as far as advertising at all, whether it's one with banner ads or game
packs? Yeah, we get this one every time too. Unfortunately, at least at our level, we don't get to make those decisions. We get to suggest the same thing that you guys do. That the more people that we get out there and see the game, it's one of the reasons why we made the trial endless in the first place, is that we just get more people playing and have more chance that people would get in it. When we did the endless trial, we made it a streaming client so that players could actually get into the game much faster. So that it was like a gig download. 6 to 8, I believe it was before that. And so we've made a lot of accessibility things that we could do on our end. But unfortunately, a lot of the marketing budgets and that type of resources and advertising ultimately comes from above us. So we continue to say we'd love to get more and more people in through advertising. Unfortunately, that's higher level decisions. Sorry. What do you guys have?
I'm one of the new subscribers. I did the endless trial and I just started playing, and I liked that I was able to go to the green skin zone and the elf zone and play the stuff there. But a lot of the public quests, especially, there were some quests that just had too high a level of difficulty. I mean, the population of those areas are dead. And I know that when I go over, I know if I want to play in
Jerks
or go to the chaos zone. Have you guys considered rebalancing some of the difficulties for those underpopulated areas so that someone who does enjoy the single player content that's going through can succeed in it?
We've been credited because BQs are a very popular feature of the game. I know a lot of games have actually done similar mechanics going forward. One of the things that, unfortunately, that they require is population. And so over time, and I know we've done at least two big pushes that I can think of, where we took our existing PQs and we shifted a lot of the difficulty down. We made them doable by duos and three people, potentially solos on some of them. So if it was a normally easy to medium one to begin with, it became something you could probably solo. If it was a much harder one that probably took a group or two before, we took it down to maybe three or four or two or three. So we have done a lot of that, and there might still be some that just seem really, really tough. And if there's specific ones, feel free to send feedback on them and we can take a look at them. We'd love to continue tweaking to make it as accessible as possible to people. But yeah, we've done that, and we're not adverse to doing more to make people enjoy it. And yes.
I'm also a new subscriber.
Excellent. Welcome
to play. One of my favorite things in Tier 1 was scenarios, and I was sort of disappointed once I got to Tier 2 and Tier 3 that those just aren't coming up at all. I mean, I spend hours, 8 or more, in a queue, and they never pop up. I've talked to some people, and it seems like the main reason for that is everyone is terrified of leveling out of the zone or leveling out of the tier without having a high enough realm rank. Has any thought been given to making the experience gain in the scenarios toggleable so people can turn it off if they don't want it?
We've actually had some discussion both internally on the forum and on this when we've been talking about what we can do in scenarios, not only to change them up and make them more fun, but one of those has been that suggestion is either lowering the experience gain in general, and that kind of harkens back to making the reward of it not mean that I just need to go do this farming grind, but I just want to do it for big fun, and not necessarily because then I get too much and level out because I want to stay and have fun. So alternatives there are looking at a way that you could just stay anyways and play, lowering the XP or turning it off, or being able to play without the rewards. Those are all things that we're actually looking at. I'm not sure if we need to see it or how we'd implement it specifically, but those are things we're looking at. Yes?
So my main question is how many of you have gotten a lot of good ideas from here, probably in the past, from other games data? My question is how often do you present these ideas to your people above you and they throw it back? Like, it seems like you guys like a lot of the questions and have tried it, and it seems like there's a wall there that you can't get past.
It's actually gotten, I think, a lot better as we've gone along. I know, especially going like at the beginning, there's definitely a lot more bureaucracy, I guess you'd call it, in that some of the ideas we got were kind of like that. There was a lot more layers of the management, so it was like everybody wanted to have their little bit and piece of it. Like, okay, well, ultimately I'm responsible for it, so I want to weigh in on this. And you don't really take, everything into consideration that hopefully we do. So there were things like that, that something would come up and they would say no. If we try to argue it, they'd still say no. That happens. But it's gotten a lot better, I think, in the last year and a half. We've shifted management around so that I've got a lot more responsibility as a producer, so that I can make those calls. It's not necessarily that he needs to be involved or he needs to be involved. Let's make the good decisions. There are some times when even ourselves will look at something and say, that sounds really, really good. But then there's all of the things that will kind of domino effect on it. So we kind of go, probably not. We need to find a way to pare that down and make it workable. Sometimes that means we do lose an idea, but then some other good ideas come out. You can say something to that.
I was just saying that it's also not RIP. So
yes,
I mean,
and yes, there are small occasions where we will have ideas and we just throw it out there and they go,
that's
not going to work. I mean, and sometimes we try to sneak little things in there and they throw it out. Like, we really wanted to name the barber surgeon Toddy Sween, and they said no. So then he became, what did I end up calling him?
I don't know.
But he is Toddy Sween.
No, it's not Toddy Sween. That was the original name for it. We changed it to...
I must have missed it.
It was another bot, but they didn't really care about that one as much. So.
Carving your face off.
Yes, back there. And then we'll get to Artie.
That gentleman talked about how there's kind of a lack of population sometimes when the local player requests you might not run into. There's a lack of population sometimes when you're outside of the realm, you can't go into stuff. Do you think it'd be feasible to do like NPCs or anything like that to try and help players out?
We've had similar stuff, and one of the reasons that OpenRVR originally had some of the guards and NPCs was to make sure there was that bit that was always there. And that's one of the reasons we're actually probably going to go back and see how we can tweak it and put it back in. Is we don't want to have it to be that, oh, I'm the lone guy or whatever, and to make it doable. We've looked at other things we can do, but population is one of those very sticky wickets, and so anything we can do or any suggestions people have on that, we'd be glad to hear. Artie, did you have
Yeah, Michael actually gave me a list of them. Some of them were already asked. Any chance that we can get endless...
We saw these questions.
Any chance we can get endless dies or change used dies on the Origin Store?
We actually were looking at some of that, and I know that actually ties in a little bit Whether it'll be, you know, endless eyes on a version or something, I don't know. But we also want to increase the amount of stuff that you can use some of our alternate currencies, whether that's ordnance or some of the stuff you get from schools. Yeah, Skulls of the Fallen, Land of the Dead. We want to put more things out there. The RVR accessories just were one more thing that we could put out there and put on a store and let you use stuff for. And the more that we can kind of let you use some of that alt currency and get use out of that, that's a good suggestion. One more. You get 10 there. I just
want to see. Oh, yeah, one more. Pick a good one.
Not the app one.
Oh, not the app one. Most of these things are already been asked.
Oh, wait, I was drinking.
Yeah, I remember all of them. Yeah. These questions were sent in from another blogger who unfortunately couldn't be here today because he had to go to a
bank. Any chance of ever getting our dyes or be able to dye our weapons or shields? Or different designs, or
is the tech there? You're the artist. Come on.
I'm
fire. You on weapons?
I would have to look into the fact of doing weapons and things like that. But it's more or less on the fact of our development time. Yeah. We're doing that art side is for each armor set. We're doing a tint for every single item, since an entire armor set is 5-7 pieces. That is each a sheet, a printout sheet that basically says dye this area A, dye this area B. We'd have to do that for every weapon and shield. Now,
or if, restricted very much.
Yeah, well, restricted to just one color. But the point is, we have to go in for every single one. It's, I think, more or less on the point of time and what we want to apply our time to. As James said, with how we are. We have our resources, and we have to use our resources as wisely as possible. Is it a capable thing? It's something that you can wrap your mind around. Yeah. But could we do something more like editing content and helping to find what we can to bring more refreshing and entertaining content to you? That would probably be more of a time for you to use.
I think it's feasible. I think if enough. You know, if we wanted to look at it as a long-term goal, that's something we do. But I just, the ability to dye the weapon or the shield, I don't think would bring us enough return on the investment for the amount of resources that it unfortunately would take. Because it's not as easy as saying, turn on a dye bit for the weapons and shields. Because there's a lot of back-end stuff that goes into making that little bit that says make it dyeable work. And weapons and shields are just never set up that way.
Well, guild doesn't put on our shield.
That's another one of those where it's a system that they don't. You'd have to put the stuff in to display it properly, and right. You'd have to go through and make sure it worked with all the different shield types.
And then, of course, my favorite is the Tomalox.
Exploring.
Are you going to get more of those? Or actually the ability to actually finish some? Because you took out content out of the game and can't finish them now.
He's asking about the Tome of Knowledge because it's a lot of little things that you just kind of do in the world, or little quests that you do. Find or discover, and there's a lot of them. Some of them don't work as great as possible. There's bugs that have cropped up or changed because of other things, and we are trying to work out as many as we can in every patch, and we'll always have a few, I think, in there. If there's specific ones that you know about that just aren't working and you really, really want to get it fixed, send us some feedback and or get on the forums and tell us, and we'll be glad to put them in and make sure they're either in our queue to look at and move them up, or get them in there and move them up, in case we don't know about them. Let's see, hold on. We've got, we're probably out of time. What I will do is, I want to make sure people get shirts if they want them, and then we'll probably be around for a few minutes right after if people have any specific questions. Thank you all.